If you could all rise for the scripture reading, it comes from Joshua chapter 14. It's Joshua chapter 14. Please read along to yourselves as I read from God's word. Chapter 14. Now these are the areas in the Israelites received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritances were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Moses had granted the 2.5 tribes their inheritance east of the Jordan, but had not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest, for the sons of Joseph had become two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. So the Israelites divided the land, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua to Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron, his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from the war. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, Pastor Wilson will come up and give the sermon entitled "The Expression of Christian Faith."
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Alexander Graham Bell, he was an amazingly talented individual, and he invented a lot of things. He invented something called a multiple telegraph. He invented something called the autometer. Autometer is the device that we use today to test our hearing. And he also invented something we saw in our airplanes, which is the tricycle landing gear. When the airplane lands, that gear, it was invented by Alexander Graham Bell. But most of all, he's famous about inventing the telephone. He invented the telephone, and he had a lot of people who invest in his invention when he did the research. But you see, Alexander Graham Bell was an individual with great ideas, but he never bothered with the details. One of the details that he managed to overlook was to file a patent for his invention. So his father-in-law invests great money in Bell's invention, especially the project on telephone. And he waited and he waited and he waited. And he found that his son-in-law did not even bother to find a lawyer to file a patent with the United States government. So finally, his father-in-law ran out of patience. So he went out, found a lawyer, and asked the lawyer to file the patent for Bell. Then Bell got the patent. But history told us that It was only a couple hours before another individual by the name Gray, who invented also a different version of telephone, sending sounds through wires. And he also got a lawyer, tried to file a patent with the United States government. But it was a couple hours later than Bell. So Bell got the patent. And this patent became the wealth for him and for his generations. Up until today, we have AT&T, we have Bell Lab, all these, maybe some of them are no longer exist. But that wealth passed down the family. This is a story, a perfect story telling us that not only for us to have great ideas or great quality in lives, but we also have to express that in our actions. Today's scripture, chapter 14 of the book of Joshua, is talking about the expression of our Christian faith. Let's bow our head and look upon the Lord to speak to us. Father, this morning we gather together. We pray that your Spirit will be with us to speak through your words to our lives and breathe to our lives so that we can further transform into the likeness of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We offer up our lives and we open our hearts and minds toward you. May your truth shine through in our lives and help us to express our faith in our daily lives that will bring forth glory for your name. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Today's scripture I divided into three parts. Verses 1 to 5, verses 6 to 12, and verses 13 to 15. Three dimensions, three ways to express our Christian faith. And it all happened in one person's life. His name was Caleb. His name was Caleb. In the beginning of chapter 14, we see that the author described an action. The action is a list of land being allotted to the tribes of Israel. A series of lands being allotted to the tribes of Israel. There were 2.5 tribes. They settled east of Jordan. And then the other 9 tribes, they settled west of Jordan. And then they come together here to allot their lands. And in this 5 verses, 1 to 5, a phrase appeared twice. First time in the latter half of verse 2. Their inheritance were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. As the Lord had commanded through Moses. And later on, at the end of verse 5, we also see the same phrase appear again. So the Israelites divided the land just as the Lord had commanded Moses. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the book of Leviticus, especially on the incident of the unauthorized fire that Aaron's 2 sons offered. And we learned that against a background that the 2 sons of Aaron, they offer fire not as the Lord commanded. Against the background of chapter 8 and 9, in those two chapters, there's a lot of that same phrase appear, as the Lord commanded. So in other words, here, that all the Israel that get together and the leaders, what they did to allot the land was according to the command the Lord has given to Moses. So they're following God's command. They're following God's command. And the arrangement of all these lands were according to God's design, including the Levites, that they did not have any land being allotted to them, but they lived by faith and also serving God. And also, the 12 tribes, the names of them, and there's especially 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. These 2 tribes were not originally the son of Jacob. They were the son of Joseph. But if you're familiar with the story in the book of Genesis, you know that when Joseph brought his son to Jacob, asked him to bless them, Jacob blessed them and said they will inherit each one a portion. Now, according to the Jewish tradition, if Joseph's two sons, they both receive one portion, that means Joseph received double portion. That is in a way that being elevated to the position of the firstborn. Only the firstborn will receive double portion. And Jacob spoke in prophecy, raised up Joseph's two sons. And these two sons become part of the 12 tribes. And these were all according to God's ordained. And they were doing that according to God's will. And therefore, in this first section, the concluding remark happened twice is according to as the Lord had commanded. As the Lord had commanded through Moses. So in other words, faith expressed in our obeying God's word. Faith is expressed in our obeying God's word. General Stonewall Jackson, a famous figure, once he had his army march toward certain destination. But when they march along a river, they found out that there's no way to cross that river. And if they could not cross the river, they could not reach the destination. So General Jackson gave out an order to his engineer in his army, saying that you got to build a bridge so that all these wagons, all these supplies, all these soldiers can cross the river to the other side so that we can reach the destination. And when he said that, he told another man in his company, telling him, you gather all the possible material, logs, woods, whatever, that gather, be prepared to build a bridge. So this soldier of his, receiving that order, gathering all the material from the field, from the forest, whatever that he can find, and he throw those things in the river and start to build a bridge. And in a very short period of time, the whole company crossed the river. When they crossed the river, General Jackson looked back and asked, where were my engineers? And then they went out to find. The engineers were on the other side of the bank of the river. They were in a tent. They were drawing pictures, drawing diagrams, trying to draw a bridge. And yet, this single soldier got the order and gathered all the material. The whole army crossed the river. A lot of time as Christians, as God's people, we need to act upon God's word. We need to act upon God's word by obeying it. By obeying. Otherwise, we will still be drawing engineering diagrams. But yet, God's army already crossed the river. Our faith needs to express itself in our action by obeying God's word. Obedience to God's word always brings forth actions. Always brings forth things that we do for the Lord. Faith also expresses itself in our trusting God's word. Verses 6 to 12. In this paragraph, 6 to 12, Caleb is the central figure. He came. Now the man of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses sworn to me, the land on which your feet had walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. This story actually recorded in the book of Numbers, in the book of Numbers chapter 13. If you can turn with me to your Bible, Numbers chapter 13. This is a deciding incident in the story of Exodus. And this exact event that turned the faith of the Israel. Because they were facing the promised land on the other side of the river of Jordan. And Moses sent forth 12 spies, 12 007s, into the new land to spy, to gather information. And when they come back, they brought forth the report. And they report to Moses. And it's at this juncture, it's a dividing event that the unfortunate happened. Because of the report, because of the bad report of the 10 spies they brought back, the Israel were under the judgment, the wrath of God. And they've been punished by wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years until the whole generation been wiped out and passed away. Then the new generation can enter. They spent another 40 years wandering around because of this incident. And this is what in chapter 13 of Numbers recorded. And I would like to read to you from verse 26 on chapter 13 of Numbers. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israel community at Kadesh in the desert of Parim. There they report to them and to the whole assembly and show them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit, but the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites lived near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the man who had gone up with him said, "We can attack these people. They are stronger than we are, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explore devours those living on it. All the people we saw there are all great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendant of Anak coming from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them.'" Now pay attention to the last couple of verses, start from verse 31. If you count the pronoun "we" or "our," there were a lot of those. But the man who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israel a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seem like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we look the same to them.'" All these pronouns give us a hint. The hint is about the inner mind, the mind of these 10 spies. They are looking, they are focusing on themselves. They are focusing on themselves, and also they are focusing on the circumstances around them. There's only two results coming from that focus. Either you feel you are so proud, you are so great, or you feel that you are so small, you are so unworthy. These are the only two results when we focus on ourselves or when we focus on our settings. And this is exactly what happened to those 10 spies. When they focus on themselves, compare themselves with the environment and the challenges around them, the only conclusion they can draw was, "We're doomed." And they spread a bad report. And then in the chapter follow, on chapter 14, that bad report spread out like contagious disease among the Israelites, among the assembly. And everybody all of a sudden start to complain, start to grumble. 14, chapter verse 1. "That night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert, Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. You see, they start to complain, they start to grumble, they start to feel sorry for themselves. And if we pay attention to the content of their complaint, even though they grumble against Aaron and Moses, but yet the content of the complaint actually pointed toward God. They questioned the goodness of God. They questioned the goodness of God. If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? They were complaining against God's character. They're casting doubts, challenging, even to a degree is what I call is character assassination of God's character. We saw that during the campaign, any political campaign, right? We try to put down the opponent by attacking his or her character. This is exactly what happened there 3,000 years ago. When they heard the bad report, they started to grumble. And that was the reason why the Lord brought forth the judgment upon them. Because they were a people, they had been experienced all these miracles, all this supernatural power demonstration, the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, and all this miracle that happened in Egypt to free them from slavery. And at this juncture, they discount all those goodness that God did to them and question God's character. You brought us out so that we die here, as if you're playing with us. They couldn't bring any worse assault to God's character. And that's why they've been punished and wandering around in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years, until that generation of rebellious been totally wiped out. But God's promise carry on. And Caleb and Joshua, in the midst of that tragedy, they stood on the ground. And in the book of Numbers, as well as in the book of Joshua, the passage that we read today, the comments about them is they follow God wholeheartedly. They follow God wholeheartedly. And that separate them away from the crowd of Israel. Caleb was not a Jew. It said Caleb, coming from a tribe of Kenazites. Kenazites in the book of Genesis, in the latter part, I believe it's chapter 29, something like that. It said it's one of the tribes in the land of Canaan. So in other words, Caleb was a Gentile. And the funny thing about his name, I don't know whether you know the name, the meaning of name Caleb. You found that very few Jews use this name, because the name itself means dog. The name itself means dog. A Gentile being looked down as dogs. And yet, because he's followed the Lord, he followed the Lord, he's trusting the Lord, God's word wholeheartedly, he became part of the tribe of Judah. And we know that Judah is the tribe that Jesus Christ came from. In other words, Caleb became one of the forefathers of the Messiah. His action, his commitment, his trusting in the Lord's word set him apart from the crowd. Set him apart from the crowd. Oftentimes we find ourselves being confronted by God's word. And the only response, the only good response is to yield ourselves toward God's word. to obey it and to surround ourselves to God's word. There's a story about an ocean liner, a huge ship, sailing toward a harbor. In a night, in an evening, that the harbor was dense with fog. So they rely on radio and they rely on light signals. So when this ocean liner was approaching the harbor, in the dense fog, they spot there's another light in front of them, quite far away. And then they wait for a couple of minutes and they found out that light did not change its course, representing another ship, did not change its course. So the ocean liner, being a huge ship, the captain said, asked one of the crew, signal the other ship, tell them to steer away, to change, to adjust their course 15 degrees toward their right, so that we will not heading toward a colliding course. So the crewman signaled that. And as soon as signaled that, to his surprise, the other ship signaled back. This other ship signaled back and said the same message, asking them to adjust their course 15 degrees to their right. Now, this ocean liner is big, like 50,000 tons. So the captain's thinking, it takes a long time for us to steer, so let me give him the last, one more time, one more chance. Signal him again, telling the other party, we are a 50,000-ton ocean liner. Please adjust your course 15 degrees to your right. Then a couple minutes, the other party, the other ship, signal back. Please adjust your course to your right 15 degrees. This is the lighthouse. This is the same. Sometimes we, without knowing that, we ask God to adjust his course 15 degrees to your right. But we fail to realize God's word will not change. God will not change. He is the lighthouse in our life. We need to adjust our course. And that was what happened to Caleb, and that's what happened to the 10 spies. Caleb adjusted his course, but those 10 spies, they did not. And the result was drastically different. Faith also need to express itself by following God's way. Verse 13 to 15. Verses 13 to 15. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron was belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. Caleb was especially a lot to this land, Hebron. And Hebron actually is the same place that the 12 spies went out to spy. And this is the part of the land their heart melt. They said they are like giants. They are like giants. This is the part of the land that 40 years ago, the 10 spies, they lost their courage. And Caleb was given that land. The 10 spies said, we look like grasshopper to ourselves and also to their eyes. But Caleb, he said, he got this land. And furthermore, he said, I'm 85 years old and I'm as strong and as vigorous as when I was 40 years old. His faith, his obedience, his trusting in God did not change over time. And as Moses promised, then the land become his inheritance. Hebron also not only is the land that the so-called giant occupied, but also is the land that Abraham buried there. Abraham's wife Sarah also buried there. So it's a land that has special meaning to Israel. It bears a special meaning to to the promise of God. And that promise belonged to Caleb. He got the land because he followed God wholeheartedly. He followed God's leading in his life. And therefore he enjoyed the inheritance. And the result is the last verse of the chapter. Then the land had rest from war. When we follow God's leading, when we follow God's way, ultimately, that will bring peace into our lives. That will bring peace into our lives. There's a missionary in India. His name is Dr. Paul Brand. He's a well-known doctor and author. And he was raised in India. His parents were missionary there. He wrote a book called In His Image. And it is in this book, In His Image, he wrote a story. He wrote about his mother. He wrote about his mother. In this story, he said his mother was 75 years old. And this 75 years old lady, still walking miles every day, visiting different villages in northern India, and teaching the people about Jesus and spreading the gospel. One day, at the age of 75, she was traveling along and fell and broke her hip. And she lay in the place that she broke her hip because it's in the wilderness, in the forest. So there was nobody around. So she lay there for 2 days. And therefore, the wound become a permanent damage. And then after 2 days, someone saw her, pick her up, and brought her to 150 miles away to a very simple hospital where they can find a doctor to reset the bone and do the surgery. But because of the 2 days waiting, the damage was permanent. So she had to walk with cane and crutches. So Dr. Paul Brand went to visit his mother. And he said, at age 75, with a broken hip, unable to stand on her own two legs, I thought that I made a pretty intelligent suggestion. I suggested that she retire. So she suggested to her mother, you better retire now. Her mother turned around and looked at him and said, what value is that? If we try to preserve this body just a few more years, and it's not being used for God, of what value is that? So she kept working, and she kept on riding her donkey to the village until she was 95 and went back to be with the Lord. An old lady, simple-minded, not very sophisticated. She did whatever she can. She followed God's leading. God pressed upon her heart the urge to spread the gospel among the Indian in northern India, among different villages. And even after she broke her hip, after surgery, she's still being crippled by the injury. She still wanted to follow God and spread the gospel. Faith need to express itself in our actions. By obeying God, by trusting His word, and by following His leading. My dear brothers and sisters, when we are confronted with this chapter of the book of Joshua today, the book of Joshua is about a group of people, a group of God's people, facing a great challenge. Their leader were gone. Moses were gone. And left with only Joshua and themselves, a young generation, facing the promised land, but yet the promised land seems to be occupied by a lot of enemies. What we need at those situations is our faith in God. Hold tight on His promise. Trust that He will deliver what He promised. and follow him wholeheartedly. We all know that David Livingstone is a great missionary to Africa. There was a gentleman named H.M. Stanley. He went there to live with Livingstone for a couple of weeks to report him, to write a story about him. And he spent actually more than a couple of weeks, several months, in a missionary company. So he's carefully observing what Livingstone was doing. And this is what he wrote. H.M. Stanley, he wrote, "Livingstone never spoke to me about spiritual matters. But his loving and patient compassion for the African people was beyond my comprehension. I could not understand how the missionary could have such love for and patience with the backward pagan people among whom he had so long ministered. He literally spent himself in untiring service for those whom he had no reason to love except for Christ's sake. When I saw that unwearied patience, that unflagging zeal, and those enlightened sons of Africa, I became a Christian at his side, though he never spoke to me one word. My dear brothers and sisters, if any of us were not able to speak a word, how many people would know that we are Christian? Do we have a way to convey our faith through our lifestyle, through our actions, that other people around us will see Christ in us? Let's bow and pray. I want to invite you to have a moment to reflect upon ourselves. If we have faith in our hearts, the other side of faith is action, is behavior, is expression. Are we expressing God, the faith in God, that other people around us will see the blessing and will share the blessing?